This is our fight with reflection. You know, the beginning of the new year is always a good time to sit back and think about the last 365 days, to think about the last rotation we've just done around the sun. But, you know, in now 2022, knowing what we've just gone through for the past 2 years or so, you really begin to think about things from a much larger perspective. And I think collectively, the things that we have dealt with for the past 2 years have just been insurmountable, right? The global pandemic sort of being the number one thing. All the, you know, political things happening in the background. There's this collective just exhaustion dealing with the whole thing. It's funny, the last couple days I've been scrolling sort of aimlessly through my Instagram, as one does, and the number one thing you see is this, like, I think what the internet is really good at is sort of making light of a serious situation. And I kept scrolling and I was seeing all these, like, the CDC says, you know, all you gotta do is, you know, rub a little dirt in it at this point. And I think there's this collective feeling with people that we're kind of just giving up with the pandemic, but we're just, like, kind of giving up in general with everything going on. And I think that's just a sign of the exhaustion, the sign of this, we're sick of it, we're tired of it, we just want to move on. And with that feeling comes a lot of reflection of the things that we have dealt with. And thinking about that, I kind of turned inward. It's been about a year since I recorded any kind of audio for a podcast. At one point, I was doing the podcast every week, and it was very ritualistic for me. I'd look for guests, I'd come up with the topics, I'd do all of those things. And I think similar to what everyone else is collectively dealing with, I one day just stopped. I let life happen. But a lot has happened for me in the past 365 days. In a lot of ways, what I think I went through in my personal life in the last year is a reflection of what all of us are collectively going through. The roller coaster of life and emotions and everything else that's happening. So in the past year, last January, I proposed to my then girlfriend. And, you know, for the hopeless romantics out there, very picturesque. COVID being what COVID is, it was a maybe untraditional engagement. But I essentially made dinner for her, the first meal I ever made for her, which is a salmon and asparagus dish. Used our dog Sam to help me out. Little guy was wearing a bow tie, and I popped a question. I declared to the love of my life that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And that was probably, you know, in January, what I thought would be the biggest moment of my life. You know, soon after, probably week or two following that, I got the news that my dad wasn't doing too well. My dad, I don't think I've talked about him much outside of a couple of stories on an audio version, but my dad was my best friend growing up. He had his demons, was an alcoholic, and he, you know, for a lot of his other kids, he wasn't the best dad. And for me, you know, I think I had the privilege of seeing what Ricardo Cevada could be, you know, when he wanted to be a good dad. And I think to a certain degree, he looked at me as the product of what him as a good dad could be. So my dad wasn't doing well. He had diabetes, had high blood pressure. He spent a very long time not taking care of himself. Like a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people out there who, you know, whether it be through vices or it be through something else, they don't necessarily always take the time to sit back, reflect, and take care of themselves so they can give themselves longevity. And so I found myself in a situation in the beginning of last year. There was this great stuff happening with my then fiance. And then there was this like situation looming in the background with my dad. And I knew I had to do something. And I found myself in a situation where I was supporting him emotionally, financially. And it was tough. It was rough. Some of the phone calls I was getting about the state he was in, you know, the mood that he was in. And so I spent, you know, the following months working hard, grinding, trying to provide for him. So much so that I, you know, the t-shirt business that I had started through Bodega Body, and I'll get to Bodega Body, the t-shirt business that I had started through Bodega Body, I let that go to the wayside. Because I was so distracted by all this other stuff happening in the background. And yes, this is all, I know a lot of this is going to sound like excuse, but I'll, you know, we'll get there. So the one thing I wanted to make sure of that happened last year, I was able to do, after I, left the job that I was at before, found a new job, where I was able to put myself in a little bit more of a financially stable situation because I was now supporting someone else as well. I made sure to take a trip to Mexico. And I actually got some good footage, some audio that I'm going to put together for a future release of some sort. I have to figure out the way I'm going to package it, but I essentially got an interview with my dad about his life and the things that he went through and how he was reflecting through it all, through his errors in life, through the great things he did, through the not so great things he did. And it was probably one of the most valuable closure things that I have experienced in my life. This year, you know, it took away a lot of things for a lot of people, and myself included. A little over a month ago, so this is actually almost 2 months ago, beginning of November, I got the news of my dad, you know, who wasn't doing very well, got COVID. And, you know, the COVID thing has been bad for folks with pre-existing conditions, and that's the populations that are the most vulnerable to this thing, especially at this point. And at this stage in the game, the Delta variant was probably the one that was the most prevalent in the news cycle, I'll say. So I remember just for 2 weeks, it was just phone call after phone call after phone call with my family that lives in Mexico, hearing about his condition, not being able to hear from him, but kind of just hearing by proxy of like WhatsApp messages from nurses of just how my dad is doing. And he was not holding up well. He was very, very sick, and he was hospitalized. He had him in an intubator, and all that. You know, you'd never want to experience that moment in life where you're like literally seeing pictures of your parent in the hospital, and you just feel powerless, right? And you would feel powerless if, you know, your parent was in a hospital 20 miles away, even 5 miles away, right? Even if you're right in front of them and you're not necessarily a doctor or a medical professional. But looking at pictures of my dad, who I knew was 1,000 miles away, I felt absolutely powerless. I felt useless. And all I could do at this situation was throw money at it, right? It was, you know, more oxygen here, you know, more medicine there, hoping that this thing was passing. In the background of all this, I had told my dad, you know, while we were on our trip to Mexico, that my goal was for my fiance at the time and I to be able to get married in Mexico. We were planning our wedding in Mexico with the hope that he could be there so he can have that last sort of hoorah, right? And so he can see his son in what will be the biggest day in his life. My dad did recover from COVID to a degree. He got over the sickness of COVID, but the damage that COVID did to his body, alongside with the damage that was happening in his body from, you know, 20 plus years of neglect, did not sit well health-wise. And my dad got pulmonary fibrosis as a result, and spent sort of the following 2 weeks just really sick. He couldn't breathe. He was on an oxygen tank. Very, very uncomfortable. I remember getting a phone call one morning from my sister, who was his caregiver. And she told me, the news that my dad had passed. And there's nothing in the world that prepares you for when you hear the ultimate news of your father passing, of any family member that you care so deeply about hearing about their passing, because you start to, you go through the roller coaster of emotions. On one hand, I was incredibly relieved, because my dad, who literally could not breathe for the previous month, didn't have to worry about breathing. And that sounds kind of fucked up, but you begin to think about, like, all right, this person's not suffering anymore. And you feel that sense of relief. And then you go through the reflection period and you reflect on, all right, you know, my dad, I loved him. I love him still. Wasn't a great dad to a lot of my other siblings. I found out, by the way, on my trip to Mexico that I'm one of like 15 or 16. So I have a lot of siblings out there that I've never met, that I've never heard of, who may or may not know that I exist. So that, you know, that's something that I've been processing as well. But I also think about the really, really cool moments in my childhood with my dad. You know, trips to the park. My dad, it was one of those guys who, he always wanted to make sure that I was having fun and that I was enjoying life. Even though we were poor, even though we didn't have much, my dad always made sure that I had like my little wrestling action figures because he knew that, you know, as a kid, I really liked professional wrestling, and he knew that I'd create my own little world with my professional wrestling action figures. And like any kid, you know, the dream matches were always happening between the teddy bears and the pro wrestlers, and pro wrestlers always beat the teddy bears, of course. But he always made sure that I had those things, and that we were, that I didn't feel the weight and the gravity of our poverty. And that, to me, reflecting back as an adult, is one of the most valuable things that he provided, because I didn't think about myself as a poor kid from the South Bronx. I thought about myself as just a kid. So, you know, you give and you take, when you're reflecting upon someone's death. With the change, sort of in priority, from a financial standpoint, my wife and I decided to get married. And I just called her my wife. My fiance and I at the time had decided to get married. So we actually got married at the beginning of December, a couple weeks after a month after my dad passed. And, you know, I got to tell you, I don't talk about my love life a lot in public, in the sense that, you know, I don't really talk about our origin story, but my wife and I, we were from a long distance relationship. She had lived in Maryland for a couple years, or for her whole life. And I lived here in New York, and we met through some college friends that we dated, you know, for 2 years. The pandemic moved us in together, and we've had a very successful relationship, and things have worked out for the better. But, you know, there is something insane about going through the best experience in your life and the worst experience in your life at the same time. And it makes you reflect. It makes you think about every single aspect of your life that you never thought you'd think about before. It makes you reevaluate the things that you find valuable. It makes you think about the things that you want to fill your life with more and more. And that brings me back to the podcast, to Bodega Body. Brings me back to all of it. So at the end of this year, I actually finally took the leap and got my certification in personal training. Now I'm a personal trainer at a gym called Grindhouse here in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I'm an online coach as well. I'm starting to reprioritize Bodega Body and bringing back the podcast. All that long-winded story and reflection and going through all that emotion for myself in front of this microphone to say that this time of year provides the perfect outlet and opportunity to relook at what is important to you. Because you're able to look at all the things you just experienced, all the things that you have experienced from before this, and say, this upcoming year, I want to do something. And I'm just doing it because it's the new year and New Year's resolution and all that stuff. Like, I think sometimes we get caught up in the doing it because that's what everyone's doing, and then doing it because I really want to do it. I ended up losing 130 pounds starting in a beginning of a year in 2017, but it was not because it was a New Year's resolution. It is because that's the time of the year when I was really reflecting on what was important to me, and I then decided to make a change in my life. And there's a lot of people right now that are maybe listening to this and are saying, well, this year is going to be my year. This year is going to be the year when I make the change. And I'm laughing because we hear that all the time, right? Like, we hear people say, oh, you know what? 2022 is when I'm going to do it. 2022 is the year where I'm finally going to lose that extra 15 pounds, or, you know, where I'm going to finally look into Bitcoin. And I think that is the most noble and amazing thing that someone can do, because it's them realizing there is something I want in my life and I want to do something about it. There's something I want to change that is well within my control. And taking back that control is the perfect thing to come from this reflection. Now, what often happens is that, you know, most New Year's resolutions, there was a fake statistic somewhere that said, most New Year's resolutions are done by the end of February or by the beginning of February, the first couple weeks of the year. That's because people get really, really, really excited about making a change, but they don't think about the steps that it takes to actually accomplish those things. Maybe you know you want to lose weight. You probably figure, well, I probably have to hit a gym, or maybe I have to change my diet, maybe a combination of both. But then you maybe like listen to a couple of random bits of advice and you kind of give up after the first couple of tries. What people don't do, and what I hope I can communicate to people, is that you can take this reflective experience, you can take that goal, that desire to change, and you not only think about what you want to accomplish based off of those reflections, but how you actually plan to accomplish them. So if it's, I'm going to make sure that this month I have one plant-based meal a day, and that plant-based meal is going to be full of nutritious fruits and vegetables, and that is going to help me lose some weight, as an example. Or it's, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. I'm going to hire a personal trainer to teach me how to work out, work with that personal trainer for a month or two, and then take that learned experience and apply that and use those skills for the rest of my life. And with that, not only like coming up with a plan, but coming up with a plan for when you fail, right? Because the thing in trying something new and trying to accomplish something new is that you're not necessarily going to be able to accomplish that on the first attempt. It's like if I were to go to the gym, my deadlift right now, I'm not like a big like share your numbers kind of guy. My deadlift right now, recently did 340 pounds for three, most I've ever done in my life. There's plenty of other strong people out there. But the point of me saying this is me knowing the cap of my strength right now, I'm not going to go attempt a 500 pound deadlift, because I saw someone, doing that in the gym a couple days before, right? Like the person who's deadlifting 500 pounds has worked and grinded and made sure that they can build their strength to get to that 500 pound deadlift. And my educated assumption about what I know about folks in the gym is that that guy or girl that's doing that 500 pound deadlift, they did not have the perfect, most beautiful deadlift with picture perfect form the first time that they did it. My actual assumption, educated assumption, is that they needed to work on their technique. They needed to have a couple of really ugly deadlifts at the beginning before they learned the proper form, the proper technique to be able to build their strength to the point where they're pulling 500 pounds. And there's plenty of people that are pulling 500 pounds that are doing it with terrible form and you know, their bodies are gonna suffer for it. But the point being that it takes time and it takes care to work around the things that are going to set you back. If I want to get to a 500 pound deadlift, I'm going to have to analyze every single aspect of my deadlift now that is going to cause me to fail. And I have to work into that. I have to work with that failure. And if I want to put this back into not extreme sort of sports accomplishments, if I'm trying to lose weight, I'm trying to change something about my diet, I can't give up on that diet the moment that, you know, I get drunk on a Friday night with my wife and decide to order an entire pizza and eat it together. That's cool. We ate the pizza. I'm not going to feel bad about it. I'm not going to say, well, you know what? I ate that pizza. The goal is over. I'm done. I can't do this diet anymore. I can't eat healthy. I can't this. I can't that. It's all right. I ate that pizza. I enjoyed that pizza. That pizza was good. Let me go eat something great today that's going to make me feel great about what I ate. Or maybe it's, you know, maybe I should look into some recipes on how to make delicious, healthy food. Maybe I can look into recipes that will make me crave healthy food. One of the weirdest things about losing weight for me has been the fact that I now look at healthy food and I'm like, oh man, you know, I'm really craving a salad from Sweetgreen. I'm really craving that, you know, grain bowl from, you know, whatever other local restaurant. It's about getting back on the horse, right? It's about reflecting on the circumstances around your failure and moving forward in a way that's going to be productive for you, right? The constant reflection that I'm referring to here is about using reflection as a point to analyze the things that are going great and the things that aren't going as great in your life, and making pivots and changes of things that are within your control. It's not about thinking about the major task, not about thinking about the major goal. It's about thinking about that goal and then figuring out how are you going to accomplish that goal. And maybe you don't know, right? Like maybe you don't have the skills or the tools or the know-how on how to accomplish a certain thing, but it's also seeking out the help to be able to accomplish those things. And seeking out the help doesn't necessarily mean having to hire a trainer. Like if you can't hire a trainer, that's not necessarily gonna be the best advice for you. For you, that might mean I'm gonna go do a lot of research online on some of the best ways to do this. And not just looking at one source, but looking at a couple sources to be able to determine what the most sustainable path forward for you is going to be. And it's about devoting time afterwards to actually accomplish those things. And that's a lot easier said than done. But one of the things that my clients always are amazed by is how, if you got 30 minutes a day to get a workout in, and you only have that 30-minute window, you're going to work for those 30 minutes to get that workout in. You're going to work for those 30 minutes to be able to accomplish the thing that day. If you only have a certain amount of time during the week to make your meals, what can you do on the days where you have a little bit more time to make yourself successful that upcoming week, to eat healthy, to prepare your meals, to cook for yourself, to, you know, whatever it might be? It's that reflection process that's constantly important. It's that reflection that we don't do enough of. It's that reflection that we do at this time of the year, but don't do at any other point in our year, that has to be more consistent, because that reflection is going to unlock the ability to accomplish so much more, because you're constantly analyzing and trying to get better. And you don't need to have leaps and bounds of progress every single time. It is okay if you take 3 steps forward and take 1 step back and then take another 3 steps forward. That 1 step back isn't going to hold you back forever. Every single athlete, every single professional out there has had setbacks. It's about how you bounce back from those setbacks that are going to make you successful. It's how you bounce back from those setbacks that are going to keep you going. And it's about charting your progress, right? Because if you're not able to reflect on your progress, it's going to be very easy to give up. If you lost 10 pounds out of the 15, but you don't think about, man, I just lost 10 pounds. And you're like, well, I didn't lose the 15. You still lost 10 pounds. Keep going. keep doing the work that you're doing because you're on the right track. Maybe you don't accomplish it in the original time frame that you set out to do, but who's to say that you can't just do the thing? I have a couple things I'm trying to accomplish myself this upcoming year. For me, it's reprioritizing this podcast, meet a lot of great people that are on their own journey to health, physical and mental wellness. I want to explore topics on my own, like this one on reflection, and really dig deep into what those topics mean to me, what they could mean for you. I also still do want to talk about a lot of the things that are, you know, barriers to physical and mental health for a lot of people that are extenuating circumstances. Because those things are still important when we talk about the bigger picture. I'm very conscious of how socioeconomic status can often, you know, greatly affect how we look at these situations and how we look at our health and how we are even able to address our health. You know, outside of this podcast, I still do want to grow the Bodega Body brand. I'm taking some graphic design classes. I'm trying to get better at how I graphically design t-shirts, you know, workout apparel that I think look cool, that people can enjoy, and it's workout apparel that, you know, people can feel good about wearing because it's a company that is going to do good in this world, because we donate 50% of our profits to organizations that help combat some of those issues that I discussed before. In my professional life, I want to continue to grow my practice as a fitness coach, as a personal trainer. You know, working one-on-one with people who want to use the tools that they have with a little guidance to discover the healthiest version of themselves. In my full-time job, I want to continue being one of the best marketing strategists that I can be, and continue to grow there. I want to be the best husband I can. I want to be the best dog dad I can. I want to be the best brother, uncle that I can. And a lot of these things have tangible implications that I'm not necessarily, you know, going deep into on this show, because we'd be here forever. But the point being is that, you know, similar to you, perhaps, I am taking this opportunity to reflect on my own life, and how I can take all the stuff that happened to me last year, grow from it, grow from those experiences, grow from my setbacks, even the setbacks that weren't, you know, within my control, and how I can continue to work on my passion, work on the things that I care about, and work on myself. I hope that you found a lot of this valuable. I hope that you join me on this journey, because it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun ride. We had a lot of cool conversations before. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, go back, listen to some of the great conversations I've had with folks in the past, some of the episodes I've done on my own as well. And I want you to reflect on your own experience. Think about the things in your life that you want to change, and how you're going to get there, and how you're going to bounce back from the likely setbacks that can come in life. But make sure to subscribe to the podcast, wherever you're listening to this. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Rich Cebada. That's Rich, Cebada. And I'll see you next week.
Yo, smoking on top shelf Guido, and it's all over my hands like Cheetos. she wanna do is dance in tight speedos. Relax in a mansion like the Migos. I can't even sell the shit that I smoke. This shit cause bands like the Beatles. And we watch movies like it's Regal. Then go cash out on seafood. Send her home with a quarter ounce of diesel. Girl, that boy don't even feed you. Yet he saw me spreading like the measles. I feel like these niggas want competition with me. And I only compete with myself. This for the niggas who stuck to the mission with me. I got Dev here up in the kitchen with me. Got the oven on 450. I got an ounce of Gorilla Glue. I'ma smoke that in the day. I need more sticky. These niggas wish they could do what I do, but they can't. So instead they want war with me. I hit this bitch from the back, it was lovely. I might bring that pussy on tour with me. I'm from a block where you gotta look before you step. If you don't, you get killed here. Half of my niggas is blazing for PD. The other half rolling like wheelchairs. They call me David, I speak from the heart. I was born in the Bronx and I'm still here. If it ain't God, we don't feel fear. Yeah, let's get it. Y'all, don't let nobody tell you struggle don't hurt. I was in middle school trying to get fly with my uncle's old shirts. Ha. Couldn't afford Nike, had ponies on. Now I'm sitting with execs plotting on a big bag to put the homies on. I'm the top competitor. You think he hot, but he not. He regular. All I do is blunt blaze. I don't make the front page. I'ma pop the editor. Look, I rap for them niggas who wake up stressed. Pockets on E, trying to do their best. Keep going hard. Niggas ain't built like you. For another 24, you blessed. A lot of niggas died this summer. I'm just glad I survived this summer. No baby showers, 380 showers. A lot of niggas in the sky this summer. I'm just trying to stay focused. The streets got a nigga hopeless. So I let it out on a beat. This is all weed mixed with emotions. You think of me? Think of devotion. Think of longevity. Racing myself. No one ahead of me. Think of ambition. Think of prosperity. Think of intelligence. Stupid, I'll never be. Think of integrity. And if you cross me, nigga, you dead to me. Yo, baby girl, she just some head to me. I'm living good. Niggas look fed to me. Trying to be great. It's more than bread to me, nigga. David James. Ibiza.